Joining me now from Blue Jays Nation, you can also read his stuff on Vice Sports and The Athletic. Please do welcome back to the show, Mr. Andrew Stone. Andrew, it's been a while. I hope you've been well over the last few months. The Toronto Blue Jays, through 51 games, are 24-27. Your thoughts on the first 51 games, even though the Blue Jays have been pretty banged up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're calling it a good time. If you'd asked me that a couple weeks ago, it would have been pretty grim. I mean, the season really obviously started terribly. But now that they've got everybody back to health and they haven't, you know, lost too much ground in the race, it really is starting to feel pretty good. I mean, obviously, it's easy to feel good after the display they put on hitting last night. I mean, that was obviously fantastic. But, you know, there should be more games like that than the ones where they just couldn't even scratch out a single run going forward. Because, I mean, Josh Donaldson is just that good. And Tulo, if he hits the way we know that he can, is a great addition to the lineup. And obviously, you know, top to bottom, they're looking really good. Bautista's going well, too. So, you know, they still have a lot of ground to sort of make up in terms of getting themselves to a point where it makes sense for them not to just sell everybody at the trade deadline. I mean, if today was the trade deadline and they were this far back, I think they would still probably have to be sellers, just because it's tough to think about losing a guy like Bautista or Marco Estrada or Francisco Liriano and getting nothing back. But we still have a long way to go for that, and I think they can play a lot of good baseball going forward. And it's nice the roof is open and the weather's better, and everything's really starting to come together.
How has the ballad of Jose Bautista been? You know, since, you know, the Jays were trying to get Edwin Encarnacion back, he didn't. They had to re-sign Jose late. And really, the last couple weeks, he's been red hot. How have Blue Jay fans treated Jose Bautista in the first 2 months of the season?
Yeah, you know, he's got a weird relationship, I think, with Jays fans. There are still Jays fans who are pulling for him now, who, if he had gone somewhere else, I think would have been really quick to say, yeah, I never really liked the guy. I think that's just sort of where we're at, where, as opposed to, you know, Edwin, who was just beloved and who really caused an outpouring of emotion from Jays fans when they didn't sign him, or when they went a different direction there. But yeah, I mean, I think when he's hitting, obviously everybody loves him. I'm in the camp who I think he's terrific no matter what. You know, I kind of think it's fun to watch him be just a crazy person out there on the base paths, and he'll run into the odd out, but it's the trade-off is worth it. And the hubris and the outfield stuff, where he you know, maybe doesn't take the greatest routes to balls these days, but and doesn't have the foot speed to he's not an elite defender, obviously, but the arm is great, and he's just a fun baseball player to have on your team. He's a great guy to like when he's on your team. I think if he wasn't, it would be a different story, obviously, and I think fans around the league will tell you that real quick, is that they don't like Jose Bautista. But you know, and it was tough, I think, at first this season when he really came out struggling and people really wanted to write him off and think, oh, he's done and we kept the wrong guy and all that stuff. But he's been hitting again. He's been looking great. And I think he's still got something in the tank, and hopefully it keeps going. And you know, Jays fans should appreciate what they have there.
Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation, as well as Vice Sports and The Athletic, joining us talking about the Blue Jays. They continue their series tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. J.A. Happ will get the start. We'll get to Happ in just a quick second, Andrew. But there's a lot of talk in the offseason about John Gibbons, what he's going to do with this team. They gave him the 2-year extension back in April. How do you think the manager handled the first 2 months? We talked about the injuries to key players for the Jays. How did John Gibbons handle his team in the first 2 months?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't too much you could criticize him for, because there were so many guys out. He did get a little bunt happy for a while, which really drove me nuts. I think there was a lot of, you know, sacrifice bunting is not great at the best of times in my book, but especially when guys can't actually execute bunts and you're asking guys to do that when they're incapable of it. And it just sort of blows up in your face. I think that was tough, but I don't know. I have a lot of time for John Gibbons. Right now, you know, I don't think there's too much of a microscope on him, just because of all the injuries. And the players, just they seem to like him, and he doesn't do anything particularly egregious. I think he's done a really good job in sort of finding the bullpen guys, the relievers who are working for this team. And maybe, you know, people get upset if he hung on to Jason Grilley and hoped that he was going to turn it around a little too long before he settled him back down the pecking order. But, you know, I think he's done a good job in terms of bullpen management. I think he's done as good a job as he can with managing, you know, playing time and who goes where in the absence of all these guys. And you know, we'll see going forward whether he keeps bunting, which is just still really frustrating for me. But that's not something that's really in his track record anyway. I think he was sort of doing that because they needed to manufacture runs in any way possible, and that's where it came from. So full marks for Gibby for me, but you know, managers are just naturally a target for anybody and for people who are looking to blame somebody for something that's gone wrong. And so you'll always find people who aren't, you know, real happy with him. But I think they should be there as well.
Jay Happ's going to get the start tonight for the Jays. He hasn't started a game since April 16th, dealing with an injury. What do you expect from J.A. Happ in his first start in over a month?
Yeah, you know what? Apparently he felt really good. Apparently he's looked good in the rehab starts and the side sessions that he's done. So, you know, Jay Happ is not a real overwhelming guy in terms of stuff, but he's pretty good, a hard-throwing lefty, and he's a guy who actually, I think in his first three starts, you know, before he went on the DL, he didn't walk a guy, which is very uncharacteristic of Happ. If he could continue to do something like that, I mean, he can have a really, really good year from here on out. You know, obviously he won the 20 games last year, which is a thing still, even though, you know, it's more of a team stat than a pitcher stat. And there are lots of guys who pitch really well and don't get wins. So it's not really a great way to measure whether a pitcher did well or not. But still, if you win 20 games, you're doing something right, I think. And, you know, he's obviously going to be a little bit limited in terms of pitch count tonight, I think. And that could be interesting because he's a guy who, you know, his tendency is to five and dive from time to time. But I think that's been something that he's more of in his past than in the last couple of years. So, you know, I don't have high expectations for tonight, but I don't necessarily have low expectations. It's just, you know, your first start back, it's the first of hopefully many in a row, and hopefully he stays healthy. And if he does, then the Jays are all that much better for it.
We're joined by Andrew Stone from Blue Jays Nation talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. Through the first third or so of the season, Andrew, who would you say has been the Blue Jays' most valuable player?
That's a great question. I mean, Marcus Stroman has been great, obviously. Marco Estrada has looked like an ace. Stroman has just been fun with the hitting and the pinch running and everything else. You know, Kevin Pillar really did a great job of keeping the team afloat when everybody else was out. And there were all these, you know, really there were contributions from all sorts of, you know, bench guys and unexpected guys and guys who sort of stepped up when the team needed them and that managed to keep them really in the race after, you know, they had that such a terrible start and then guys started to get hurt. But if you look at basically from the time that Josh Donaldson got injured until he came back, they were above 500. It was really the beginning of the year that was the biggest problem, and not necessarily so much the fact that Donaldson was out and that Tulo was out and Sanchez was out. So I'm sort of skirting the question a bit because Pilar's gone into a bit of a funk in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, with his defense and his bat, I mean, he's really the way that he had been hitting until about 2 weeks ago. I think he was really the guy that I would have said had he not been so bad and kind of looked like the Kevin Pillar of old, basically since his suspension and that whole unfortunate incident.
Andrew, looking at other teams in the AL East, obviously the Blue Jays are 6.5 games back of the Yankees, who lead the division. As someone who covers the Blue Jays full-time and has for a few years, how frustrating is it that the Yankees are playing as well as they are, kind of ahead of schedule, and the fact that Aaron Judge, the friendly giant at 6'7", is leading the American League in home runs right now? How frustrating is that from a Blue Jay point of view?
It's really, really frustrating. I mean, you know, I have a podcast that we call it Birds All Day, and we talk about this sort of stuff a lot. And at the start of the season, my co-host Drew was, you know, this was his thing. He was like, the Yankees are going to drive us nuts, and they're, you know, not even necessarily do what they're doing right now, but just be a fly in the ointment for everybody. And that's so much been the case so far. The Judge thing, there's got to be some sort of regression there, and I at least hope that there will be. But yeah, it's ridiculous a bit. It feels a bit like those Orioles teams a few years back before they sort of made it clear that they had talent on that ball club and they were a perennial playoff contender. When it was like you kind of looked at the Orioles and turned up your nose and thought, oh, these guys, they're not really for real. And then, you know, they just kept getting deeper and deeper into the season and they were still hanging around. And I kind of unfortunately expect the Yankees to be like that this year. I think there's a lot of good things going on there. I don't think they're as good as their record right now, but I think they're going to be troublesome for everybody who plays them for the rest of the year.
In the American League, can anyone stop or slow down the Houston Astros?
You know, somebody in the playoffs probably can in a short series, but in terms of regular season, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's a really well-built team. I think it's smartly built. I think they had a great offseason with the additions that they made, and they have, you know, great young talent coming up. And you know, Altuve's been around a while, but Correa is great, and Springer's great, and you know, they got the pitching and an incredible bullpen. I mean, they have all the elements there, I think. I think partly they also get to beat up on some bad teams in that division a little bit, which maybe helps pad their record a bit, but I don't want to take anything away from them too much because they're obviously a really well put together ball club, but Yeah, that's why playoff baseball is interesting, because you go in and anybody can win. So all those regular season wins, you play 162, and then they're kind of all out the window, which is unfortunate when you're a team like the Astros, who do look like, you know, the class of the league right now, especially with Boston not playing the way that I think a lot of people expected. But yeah, I mean, you don't want to see the Astros on your schedule, that's for sure. But whether they're for real or not, that's something we're going to find out in October, I think.
Staying in the AL West, Mike Trout's going to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks with an injury. Do people appreciate really how good Mike Trout is?
You know, the people that I, you know, my circles on social media and stuff like that, I think they really do, but I don't know if the average fan does. I mean, this is even saying like a once in a generation ball player, I think, is selling him short. You know, he is basically, you know, we're looking at Mickey Mantle in his prime kind of a guy, or a Willie Mays, or a guy who, you know, is just as good a hitter as there is, but also plays very good defense in center field and steals bases. And it's really an incredible thing. It's, you know, you look at the injury that just happened to him, and it's really unfortunate, especially for the Angels, because he just carries them. He's so good. But I mean, that's probably gonna hurt his MVP candidacy this year, which means, you know, he'll have played 6 years and won only two MVPs, where he basically should have won every single one of them. I mean, he's just literally that good. It's it's just incredible for a player that plays a position that is so important defensively and plays it well and can steal bases and is a good base runner in addition to just the stealing of bases, and then is also, you know, maybe the best hitter in baseball, or in, you know, the top handful. It's such an incredible skill set that it just doesn't come along almost ever. You know, it's Bonds and A-Rod and first decade of Ken Griffey Jr. kind of stuff. It's really remarkable to watch, and you know, anytime you get a chance to watch Mike Trout play, I think, you know, you got to do it.
And let's close on this one, going out to the National League for a second. How do you feel about a team waiting 3 years to get revenge on Bryce Harper and the Giants plunking him yesterday?
Yeah, you know, that stuff is just so ridiculous to me. And I think baseball will, you know, say that they don't want that stuff in their game, but then not actually do anything tangible in order to stop it. I think that, you know, it would be not that difficult to cut out the plunk and the intentionally throwing at guys if they just, you know, appropriately suspended people when that stuff does happen. And I know there's some subjectivity to whether a guy gets thrown out intentionally or not, and all that stuff. But I mean, it's tiresome to me. I roll my eyes at it, and it feels like, you know, I get that that's how the game was 20, 30 years ago and beyond that, but it just looks goofy now, and I don't get it at all. And maybe that's easy to say when I'm following a team like the Blue Jays, who are kind of not liked around the league and get thrown at quite a bit. You know, you see Josh Donaldson wearing that face protector now that he's come back from his injury, and you know, that's probably smart, because that is a thing that's going on, and he's sort of making a statement that, you know, he's got to protect himself because the league isn't going to protect him, and I think the league should do a better job of curbing that stuff. To me, that's not kind of fun. I mean, it's a wild spectacle, but I could do without it, and it looks like they're probably not going to do anything until somebody genuinely gets hurt, and that's going to be a shame.
Andrew, it's great to have you on. It's great to talk baseball again. Thanks for this. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely, man. Sounds great.
Andrew Stoughton from Blue Jays Nation.